let's go the whole hog with God. You know, anyway, Psalm 91. I thought I'd read it to you. Is that all right? Can we read the Word of God? Is that a good thing to do in church? So let's put Psalm 91 up. I'm using the New King James Version. Depending on the version, you've probably noticed that sometimes the words don't completely marry, but have some grace with the words. If you have your Bible, you may want to follow along. And it's not a small psalm, but I just thought I'd read it to you. Here we go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I'll talk about that more in a minute. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's just give the Lord a hand for that fantastic psalm. So this year, I want to set a spiritual direction for our lives and beyond. Because we don't just set a spiritual direction and then leave it behind next year. We continue in it. And so it's good to read the Bible. Turn to your neighbour and say, read your Bible. Don't mess about. It's God's word. We need to be in it. And so there are some foundational disciplines in your walk with Christ which will reward your future. And my desire is that by the end of this year, that we will be able to say, you know, I feel stronger. I feel more secure. I'm more flexible. I'm more alive in Him than I was at the beginning of the year. I have taken spiritual ground. I have overcome in areas I thought I couldn't do it. I am leading my life better. I'm loving my wife or husband better. And I know this because He's a part of me. So this year, it's not just a fleeting moment of feeling His presence in our life. It's not just rocking up on a Sunday and having an experience. We carry His presence wherever we go, day in, day out, whatever we're involved in. I may go through trials. I'm pretty sure we're all going to have a trial of some kind this year. I'm sorry to depress you, but I think we're all going to have some challenges. It's part of life. But as I stay committed to Him, as you stay committed to Him, and continue with the dreams that He has placed in your heart, don't let the devil destroy dreams. Whether it be a job, a business opportunity, a girlfriend or boyfriend, a wife, a husband, a first home, an investment home, whatever it is that you've got a dream in your heart about, whatever stage you are in, no matter what you have or have not, this psalm says, at least let's just stay abiding in Him. We are not alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Church is your best life. Church is your best life. We're in His house. We're serving alongside one another. We may have some difficulties from time to time with one another, even good friends. But we determine that we're committed in Him so that we can overcome in those areas and grow up in Him. We're giving alongside one another. I get excited about that one. We worship together. It's a journey of faith, and it's with others in His church. I'm just ringing a little bit up this front here. I don't know if you can do anything about the ringing. Thanks, guys. So Andrea and I have been married for 28 years, engaged for 29. Andrea posted on Facebook a couple of Fridays ago that she received some flowers and a teddy, and they were from her lover and her best friend. She didn't say that. She never said that. I said that. I just said that. I made that bit up. I'm just keeping the young people awake. I said, she's my lover and best friend. That's important once you've been married a little while. Well, the best friend part I'm talking about. I've got to stop being naughty. Okay, get moving along. So Andrea received well over 110 likes, she was telling me the other day, from the teddy and the roses. And some of the people commented, and some of these people I haven't seen for years. And some of them were Andrea's friends from work days. You know, we're talking like 20, 30 years ago. You see, there is something powerful about faithfulness and commitment against the odds, I might add, because we are very much chalk and cheese. My staff know this very well. And so it got me thinking, what has kept us going? What has kept me going when it comes to the spiritual direction of my life? And my answer would be to do the seemingly small things consistently and unquestioningly. Character is not built in a day. It's not built in a week, nor even a year. It's built over applying principles from His Word that help you do your life well. God's word is so that we do our life well. And I have no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is my best life and your best life too. And so what are those small things that make such a big difference in our spiritual walk? So I want to use this Psalm 91. What a magnificent psalm. It is thought to be written by David, not David Langlands, or any other David. David in the Bible, David, you know who I'm talking about. If you don't, just have a look at some of the Psalms and you'll see David wrote it. That'll give you a clear indication, actually. So, yeah. I do have a master's degree, actually, in theology, but... You'd probably never know it. By Sydney College of Divinity, I might add. But we've got to make decisions that he knew better of, in David's case, you know, who wishes they didn't make some decisions? Me too. And some of the decisions that David made actually condemned him, and that's why he wrote this psalm. Some of those things come from 2 Samuel 24. where he decides he's not going to trust what God's doing with the people, and wants to count every single person. So he does this big count. It's called a census. And he realizes he's done the wrong thing, and he has one of those, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Have we all done one of those at some point? Uh-oh, I think I've made a really rash decision here. None of us do that. And so he has an ultimatum by God. Now, this is Old Testament. Who's glad that Jesus loves us and that we have a new... new way of doing life. And there's three things that he's... It's 3 years of famine. An angel says to him, you're going to have 3 years of famine. You're going to have 3 months of running from your enemies, or 3 days of an epidemic that God will send across Israel. And David chose to be dealt with by God. He admitted his sin to the Lord. He said, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Turn to your neighbour and say, his mercies are great. And then he pleads with the Lord and says, please do not let me fall into the hands of men. And the end result was that David had a powerful and life-changing experience with God on the threshing floor of, I never know his name right, but Arauna, the Jebusite. It was there that he built an altar to the Lord and brought offerings. It is an analogy for his house. We worship and we bring offerings. We sacrifice ourselves to the house for his purposes in our life. Because we are subjecting ourselves to his will and not our will. And when we simply make the decision to keep coming back to the altar, we are going to have our best life. So however many times you mess up, when I was a young person, I used to mess up nearly every day. There were stories going around the church. Did you hear what Nigel got up to on the weekend? But you know, there was me and another mate, and everyone thought we'd never make it. But we kept coming back to the altar of God. We just kept coming back and saying, oh God, I've messed up again. The altar is the source of his river. We sung about this morning. It's our hope. It's our future. We keep coming back to the house of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, just keep coming back. And when we are determined to worship God and make his house a priority in our lives, which is what David was doing, and I haven't got time to go into the full story. But Psalm 91 came from it. He launched from that. And even when we mess up, his mercies are endless. Endless. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be consequences for our wrongdoings. David had to suffer some consequences. He lost a lot of people that he wished he didn't have to lose in that situation. But ultimately, when we face those things with him, peace will flood our hearts. I don't know about you, but I think the world needs a lot of peace flooding our hearts. Absolutely. There's got to be a trust, which I want to speak about before I finish this morning. And so the beauty of David's life is that although he messed up a lot, he kept coming back under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 91 verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so the secret place is our nearness to God. Psalm 27 and verse 4, and he says this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Can we say that together? that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. It's right there. Let's say it together. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's where we find his security. Sit down and make your home with the all-sufficient one. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We make our peace with God in his house. We worship him in his house. We bring offerings to him in his house. We pray and read his word during our week, and also at being part of his house. His house truly matters. There's an interesting verse which I said I'd come back to, verse 3 and 4. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Old terminology. Whatever plagues of mischief are coming your way, whatever evil, whatever the devil is scheming against you, whatever man has against you, when we are in him, connected as part of living our life in Christ, we can ward off whatever comes against us. Nothing can harm us. Andrea and I were driving to C3 Rockingham on Tuesday morning to have a meeting with Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3 Global. And for those of you who came, what a great meeting. And on the way there, I said to Andrea, look what just happened. There's this tiny little stone chip on my windscreen. And it was just a tiny little chip. Anyway, I came back and it had worked here during the office, and it was a really hot day. I think it was the day it got to 40 degrees. And there's this huge big crack right across the windscreen. So a couple of days later, Andrew goes, how much is that going to cost? Fair question. And I had already in advance rung the insurance company. And my insurance company said to me, as I'm on the phone, I see that you have been with us for a number of years. We've got you covered. That's what they said. They said, in fact, I can see that you have a 60% no-claim bonus. We're going to make it full 65% no-claim bonus. And the next time you have anything go wrong, we've got you covered. So what you're saying, just to clarify, because my wife likes to know, just to clarify, what you're saying is it's not going to cost a cent. That's right, sir, you're covered. We are covered under the wings of the Almighty, and that no matter what happens in our life, as we trust him, as we put our trust in him, and as the years go on, we just get stronger and stronger, and the shield of faith gets larger and extends out more, and there's people around us because we've built a team of people that believe in us, and we go from strength to strength in the faith of God. Amen. Come on. The secret is discovering Jesus. The buckler actually means a large shield protecting the whole body. Who'd like more of that? You don't know what you have been looking for until you found it. I tried this, I tried that, I did that thing, I stood on my head. You know, we can try all sorts of crazy and wonderful things. But when we found Jesus, we don't need to look anymore. We found the hope and a savior of our life. He's the right fit. I've come home, baby. I'm so glad my wife's home too. That's really good. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. People around our globe are living in fear. You don't have to watch the news for, you know, there's just so much, there's so much bad news. Maybe we better take that part out of the tape. People aren't sure how things are going to turn out. You only have to talk to an Australian to know that. And if you've got kids, they look at how is that going to work out? And so there's terror in our world. But the truth is, with Christ, we do not need to be afraid. Turn to your neighbour and say, with Christ, you do not need to be afraid. He really does have us in his hands. There's really not much that can affect us when we're in him. See, he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. He's no longer wearing sandals, walking along with his disciples on a dusty limestone track. And he may be depicted in Hollywood as a bearded guy wearing the Middle Eastern clothing. But you're abiding in the origins of the universe. He is way above. You are with the Creator. You are with the final authority, the Alpha and Omega, the preeminent Lord Jesus Christ. I am in him and he is in me. What an incredible statement. I am in him and he is in me. Let's say it together. I am in him and he is in me. That's powerful. That's exceptional. He who dwells, he who sits in the high God's presence, not just visiting, not just a visitor. I've recently visited another country. I enjoyed that country. In fact, we went to many countries last year. But I've got to say, there's no place like home. With Jesus, we stay. With Jesus, we abide. It's not a quick pit stop, a short stay, a nice experience a few times a year. We really do come home. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. When we remain in Christ, all the benefits of Psalm 91 come to pass in our lives. His love cares for you. You are not afraid. You are calm in a storm. He will deliver you from temptations. He will be victorious over the devil and the schemes of men. Trouble will come to me, but he is there with me. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. When Andrew and I were in Bible college, we had concrete floors for many years. We had a home, but we didn't want to overextend ourselves, and so we had concrete floors for a lot of years. I put a thing called Boncrete on the floor so that the dust wouldn't rise, and we lived like that for quite a few years. We had very little furniture. We had a borrowed car, and I owned a motorcycle worth about $3,000, maybe not even that. They were some of the happiest days of our life. You see, our hope and our dreams were firmly planted in Christ. And when Christ is in your situation, you can be joyful. So if you're a young married couple here today, a person thinking about making a big decision or a big purchase of some kind, live within your means, not your dreams. Better a one-bedroom home than a mountain of debt and worry. And there's a big difference between presumption and faith. We have all we need in Him. Without anything else whatsoever. I would encourage every one of us to go to a mission field that we have at some point, and you'll understand this more clearly. People love God and they have actually nothing. And they're very happy people. Sure, they'd like more. But who knows that more complicates things, puts pressure on our lives. And so we've got to get back to basics this year and beyond. Because our world needs us to be firm and committed and planted. Not wavering. Connect groups are so important so that we can help one another and hear the stories of faith from one another. So you can hide behind Christ by saying, He hasn't spoken to me yet about this or that, or stuff like, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel that. We are in Christ and we are stepping out. We are not a bunch of lazy wait on God types. We are not waiting. We are getting wisdom in Him whilst we are going, moving, stepping into the new that He has for us. I am leading us into Wellard. It's going to stretch us and maybe even cause some troubling moments in our psyche. Some of our staff have already had some of those. But here's the thing. You're going to grow. I'm going to grow through the journey ahead. Will you allow yourself to grow through this journey? We can only grow by doing new things and challenging ourselves and those around us. We will become more dependent on Jesus because of doing this new thing than not doing this new thing. Right? There's a PowerPoint, number three, I'd love you to show right now. There's a picture of Life's Too Short. Life is too short too. There's a pastor that I subscribe to on a blog post. His name's J.D. Greer. Has a church in Carolina. In the US, and he astounded me by this statement. I'm guessing he has a fairly influential church, but he now believes his vision is too small. This is it. This is what he says, quote, to plant 1,000 churches by 2050. And this is a statement he made in a recent article. And this is the statement he said. Engineer your church around sending capacity, not seating capacity. Who likes that? Engineer your church around sending capacity, not seating capacity. The goal is seeing more people make the Most High their dwelling place. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of... It's in the stretch that we gain ground for the kingdom of God. A few weeks ago, I was at a leaders' meeting with the guys here. And my physiotherapist, I actually, the last couple of years, I've had a number of injuries from when I was younger. I've pretty much done sport all my life. One way or another. And so this physio man that I go to in the local area, he said to me, Nigel, I want you to use this. And he gave me this seemingly insignificant piece of rubber. And then he said, I want you to, he showed me, and he says, oh, can you do this? And I says, yes, I can do that. He says, You've got muscles, but you've got to put something underneath to hold them in place. And when you stretch, you actually build what you need underneath to stay agile, to stay flexible, to have movement that is not there right now. And so, my nagging injuries are getting less and less as I just simply do this little exercise. Jared watched me the other night and laughed. Or the other morning, because I had it above the door and I was going. But you know, we need support underneath our lives. There's no point having us grow these big thing only for it to implode because there's no foundation. And so this year is about having an in him mentality so that we actually have foundational things in our life. And yes, they are basics to some degree. We need his support. We need him. We need to be under his wings. And so his house matters because it keeps us in step with his vision for our lives. You can be in a magnificent home. You can be on a magnificent holiday. You can drive a magnificent car. But if you are not in Christ, the stuff is never good enough. You can, however, be happy anywhere in the world, be happy wherever you live, be happy no matter the work you do, employed, unemployed, pensioner, when you are Christ-centered. I am in the Son of God. That's how I'm going to live my life. Your best life is Christ. If you're married here today, just give me a wave, all the married people. Quite a lot of us. If you want to stay married, you will need to abide in him. Particularly as the years build up being married. And so we decide that we are building ourselves a temple for the Lord. And if we're not married, Psalm 91 is for you too. I want to read from the Message, verse 14 to 16. It's number 4. There you go. Thanks, Mark. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best care. If you will only get to know me and trust me, call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. So let me ask you today, will you be a portable God unit? Will you be a portable God unit? And all the young hip-hop guys, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Will you be a portable God unit in 2016? See, he is your best life. In him, first of all, you are secure. This is number 5. Thanks, Mike. You won't stray because you're in his word, you're prayerful, you're a servant of his house. Number 6, in him, connect groups are so important. Your story will help others grow in faith. Transform lives will occur as we pray for and believe with one another for change. And lastly, number 7 there, Mike, it's a new day. Turn to your neighbour and say, it's going to be a great new day. Come on. C3 Wellard, here we come. Yes, it may stretch me. I I'm talking as all of us as individuals. Say it with me. Yes, it's going to stretch me. Yes, it may cause some hardship. But I am going to watch God grow me. And those around me. Because I only have one life. And I want to live my best life in Him. Does that sound okay? His house matters. It keeps us in step with His vision for our lives. We are most fulfilled in Him. He's our best life. Ultimately, David trusted Him on that threshing floor. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? We're going to sing a song in just a moment. I'm going to invite the team to come. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You that this is going to be a year where we launch out in You. Where we become solid in You. And as we do the simple things, seemingly insignificant things like reading our word, praying, just turning up to those things that make us, set us apart from the rest of the world. We turn up to church because we know it's our best life. We go to Connect Group because we want to help other people and we want to help ourselves by hearing inspiring stories of faith. Father, we read our word because we understand that as we do, we get glimpses of heaven here on earth. We become powerful. Help us to be that unit for God in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God this morning. Thanks, guys.